This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Presented by FanDuel. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, begins right now.
The Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Final score, 23-17, Falcons over the Jaguars. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, to discuss the Jaguars' loss today in Week 15. It's a frustrating one. Third downs told the tale today, especially in the second half, where the Falcons, after going 1-for-5 on third downs in the first half, well, they were 6-for-9 in the second half on third down. The Jaguars, for the day overall, were 0-for on the offensive side on third down, 0-for-8. There you go. There's your 6 points.
Yeah, you know, look, it was a day where Blake Bortles made a few really impressive throws, including a touchdown to Allen Robinson. I mean, if you go back, go watch that play over and over and see Robinson. You almost can't see Allen Robinson the way the defender has him blocked out. And Blake throws it low into the inside, knowing that the defender's got his back turned. Beautiful play. But as many of those that he made too many of the other variety, whether it was the overthrow to Julius Thomas when he could have walked into the end zone, the overthrow to Allen Hurns late in the football game, certainly the interception. And you know, kudos for running it down and limiting the damage. But the damage was done because you took a scoring opportunity away from your own team. You gave 3 points to the other team with a couple of seconds left on the clock. And, JP, that's a difference. That's a margin in the football game is 6 points. I mean, maybe you score a touchdown there, but you've got a less than the old extra point length field goal. Jason Myers not going to miss that. He's going to drill that. And so, you know, it cost you 6 right there on that play. And, you know, it's just frustrating. Again, you can point to a handful of plays throughout the course of the day, and any one or two of them could have made the difference in the outcome.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Frustrating day, and it's just a similar storyline, right? A few plays here or there, and the Jags have been close, a couple of missed opportunities away from 2-3 more wins this season, and that's the story of the 2015 Jaguars.
Oh, absolutely. You know, too often we found ourselves in positions where we said, they should beat this team. This team is really struggling. The Jags have a little bit more momentum. Now, the Jags had one game's worth of momentum, but it was a very impressive performance that they were coming off of. But look, this is the National Football League, man. I mean, last week doesn't mean a whole lot, does it? The Jags score 51. Atlanta gets absolutely manhandled. What was it, 38-3, the final against Carolina the week before?
Yeah.
And they completely flipped the script coming in. It's matchups. That's what it boils down to. And the matchup was that the Jags pass rush couldn't get after Matt Ryan. Despite the fact that Matt Ryan's offensive line has been leaky at times this year, it was more up to the test than the Jaguars' pass rush was today. And that, you know, ultimately, as Fred Taylor said, it's the third and longs that the other team converts that hurt you a lot more than the third downs that you don't convert offensively. As long as you're making big plays early in the down sequence, you can offset some of your own inefficiency on third down. But, boy, I mean, in the second half, it just seemed like they could not get Atlanta off the field with multiple opportunities, particularly on that long the drive where they kick the field goal. Stop them anywhere sooner, it's a field goal game, and you've got so much more time. You're not feeling the press. You know, maybe you have a couple of opportunities to get down there and take advantage and put some points up on the board, but wasn't to be today. So we'll find out what the Jag fans have on their mind today. I'm sure they're very disappointed coming off a regular season record for points scored. Chance to close out the regular season at home with a victory, unable to come up with that chance to really stay alive in the playoff race, and there may be a mathematical way for them to still slip in, but it's almost, you know, out of reach at this point. If the Jags were to win out and Houston and Indy were to lose out, they might be able to slide in on a tie break, but the odds of that happening at this point with 2 weeks left in the season are pretty dim right now. You needed to win today's football game, and that's been the case. You point to this one or any number of other close ones all season long. I think, was it Devon House after the game talked about, hey, you know, every game that we lose seems like it's less than 7 with the exception of the New England game. He's right. So
that's the frustrating part. So coming up, the Saints at the Superdome with that really when Drew Brees gets going, the offense can score. Their defense is not so great. And then you go to Houston in the division to round out the regular season, and you never know what happens down there. It can be
could go either way.
Against Houston,
right.
It always seems to, right?
Well, look, you'd like to close out. If you still forget what the division record is now, just close out with some victories. Build on some things. I know what Fred said. You got guys that are nicked up that maybe wouldn't be playing otherwise. Who knows what happens with them down the stretch. I would have thought that Paul Posluszny, had the Jags lost last week, I was thinking with a broken hand, maybe he goes on injured reserve if they don't win that game, and he's trying to gut it out. But then you see how well he plays today with that club on his hand. And knowing that guy's not going to mail it in the last two games
of the season.
I expect him to be out there with a fresh club and you know, doing his thing. It was pretty remarkable today. 10 total tackles, 9 solo tackles today with basically 1.5 hands out there and the interception. So good stuff from Paul.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. If you incur emergency flood damage at your home or business, don't sit on the sideline. Call the team the Jags trust, ServPro of Arlington and ServPro of Jacksonville South, 721-2230, like it never happened. We'll take your calls when we return. We'll look at the scores from around the National Football League. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
FanDuel Scoreboard Show rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jags fall in Week 15, 23-17. To the Atlanta Falcons. Some other scores in the NFL today. We'll get to some calls coming up. The Panthers remain undefeated. They're now 14-0 with a late field goal to win it, 38-35 over the New York Giants. Strange
coincidence.
Coincidence to the last time that the Giants had a chance to knock somebody
isn't
off
it,
the undefeated.
Funny, JP, they played the Patriots in Week 17 in 2007. They gave them all they wanted, and they lost 38-35, much like they gave the Panthers all they wanted today. Now, obviously, the Giants can't meet the Panthers in the Super Bowl, and I think their postseason chances are dwindling by the second as well. So,
Not sure how Odell Beckham stayed in that game, by the way, with the swing and a miss and a punch. He actually hit the guy and then speared Norman in the ear hole.
Separate incidents.
Yes. So
doesn't get tossed.
And then had a big game.
And then he ends
that,
up scoring the tying touchdown. Mm-hmm. Had really been shut down, though, by Josh Norman. It was frustration that was coming out in him.
Some other scores. Patriots win over the Titans 33-16. Patriots are 12-2. The Redskins are now 7-7. Hail to the Redskins. They beat the Bills 35-25. The Chiefs. Yes, the Chiefs win again 34-14 in Baltimore. The Vikings over the Bears, 38-17, relatively easy today. Current games, the Seahawks about to go to halftime. They lead 17-10 over the Cleveland Browns, and the final play of the half, they'll tackle them at the 20-yard line.
Actually, they had a penalty on it. They kicked the field goal. It's 20-10 on
there
the final play of the half.
20-10. Packers, 14-6 over the Raiders. Second quarter, the Broncos lead the Steelers 20-10. Chargers over the Dolphins, 16-0. The Chargers have scored more than 3 points. Breaking news, the Bengals lead the 49ers 7-0.
Chargers can only get it done against Florida teams, apparently.
Apparently so.
All right, let's get out to the phone lines at 355-NFL1. I know you can't. Let's go to Darren on Gate Parkway, checking in first here on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Darren, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Took my stepson to the game today, got club seats, had a wonderful time, a wonderful experience, and, you know, disappointing at the end, but you know, it's been several years since the Jags have, you can say that the fans, whether watching on TV away from home other than the New England game or even at home, that everybody's there sitting on the edge of their seats with, you know, a minute or 2 minutes left in the game. And I just expect us to get a handful of these close games next year and flip the switch and, you know, go ahead and throw it to the other side and be 12-4. So I have great high hopes, and you know, two comments and I'll hang up the lesson. One is, should be no surprise with the pass rush. We've been talking about that since preseason, so I know the Jags are going to address that in a big way. But if you're going to, and now we know why Gus Bradley early on was hesitant to bring 6-7, because we just don't have the talent to get there. And if you don't, at least the guys out on the ends one-on-one, and we saw how bad that hurt us today on third down. And then the other comment is, man, for all the spectacular, awesome catches, and I'm not dogging on our wide receivers. I've just come to expect so much out of them. We had five drops today that I was kind of disappointed that I could have kept some drives going. I'll hang it with the guys.
Yeah, one of the issues, you know, I mean, that all factors in, JP, when when you lose a close game. You can point to any number of areas. Certainly there are some drops today. A little off, Blake was, with his receivers today. He could have gotten helped out a little bit more, but also he could have put a few balls in little better places for those guys to make plays.
And the pass rush is what it is. Like you said,
in
the preseason, you knew it was an issue when Fowler went down. That was why they drafted Fowler this year, was to bolster the pass rush. He goes down, then you have, you know, Clemens, who's been around the yard a few times, and, of course, Andre Branch, who, big year for him, fourth year, hadn't produced a lot, has been injured a bit. You knew it was going to be an issue.
Sure.
Getting a pass rush. Sendarek Marks coming off the knee injury. He was a few weeks into the season, finally got back on the field, but was not quite the same even when he was healthy this year. So, hey, it's going to be a focus this offseason. It'll be a focus in free agency, probably the draft. You'll have Fowler back. You'll have Sendarek Marks back as well. You might have, as we said earlier, the quadfecta in the offseason in terms of the pass rush and getting to the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, look, if there's anybody with a pulse in free agency, the Jags have money to spend.
Make it rain, man. Let's
go. Pass rush position.
Come on, Dave. Spend some money.
Oh, he'll do it. Dave Caldwell just stopped by a moment ago. He was asking us, are we still mathematically alive? We think they are mathematically alive if the Jags win out and Houston and Indy lose out, and maybe even if Indy wins against Miami. But it's right now, just go out there and beat the Saints next week. Let's move along to Anthony on the west side. Darren, thank you for the call. Anthony, you're next up on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, please.
Well, actually, y'all just answered the first part of my question, were we still mathematically in? And my second one was, it seems to me, I wish Gleslie, I don't know, Babbage would just kind of take a page out of Belichick playbook, because Belichick takes away what you do best. Every person he goes against, he takes away your two, three best playmakers. I just don't see why. I don't know if it's stubbornness or what. I know House, they're good corners, but when you're going against a Julio or a Hopkins, I just feel we need to start double-teaming some of the opposing team's top playmakers, and I just don't see us really doing that. I was just wondering why, or if they do and I'm missing it.
Yeah, I think at times House gets safety help, but I think that ideally that's what they want to try to do, JP, is match him up or whoever the top corner is against the other team's best wide receiver. It's tough when Julio Jones is the assignment, though, right? I mean, Julio had a more consistent game than DeAndre Hopkins had, but you look at those two guys, not many guys are going to have success one-on-one against that level of wide receiver. So, you know, I understand the frustration, and I can't tell you here that they didn't double him at all. It's tough. We're restricted
we're
to the TV angle here in the studio. So without seeing the All-22 today, I really couldn't tell you how that went.
I say listen tomorrow night to Jaguars Monday and Jaguars today.
I think they will break it down on that score. Let's get Jimmy out by the Intercoastal. What's up, Jimmy? You're on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how are y'all doing tonight?
All good, thanks.
All right.
Hey, the one thing I don't want to hear is a bunch of people jumping on the Fire Gus Bradley bandwagon. I don't know if most people realize this. I mean, we kind of ran Coughlin out of town a little bit because of the fans, which I thought was wrong. But, you know, one of the Hall of Fame coaches of all time started out his first six seasons at 500 or worse, and he didn't actually even get his 500 win season until his sixth. You might even have heard of him, Tom Landry. I say keep Gus. He's doing a great job. There's great effort. There's great promise, and I think in a year or two, we'll be in the Super Bowl.
Let me tell you what, if Tom Landry had been coaching for Jerry Jones, he never would have made it to year four.
That's true.
Right? It's a different time. It's a different era as far as that goes. And, look, just because you're patient with a guy doesn't mean he'll turn it around. Had Cleveland been patient with Bill Belichick, would he be a Hall of Fame coach, or did he not have the guys? You know, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here, because when you say jump on the Fire Gus bandwagon, I think there have been a lot of Jaguar fans that it's not a bandwagon. It's been a movement. They've been on that side of things for a good portion of the season, because you come off a four-win season, a three-win season, and you lose all these close games, and you find different ways in their point of view to beat yourself. Now, JP, you and I think we feel that Shad Khan's not going to agree with that sentiment.
I agree.
That
yep.
He sees that there is enough improvement, and it's heading in the right direction. Now, He said this year he wasn't going to put a number on, you know, as a litmus test for job security. I wonder if he doesn't have a number next year, whether he shares that publicly or not, that he says, you know what, this needs to be a 10-win team next year, or whatever the case may be. This needs to be the best team in the AFC South, division champ, a playoff team. That may be the standard. I'm not sure, but my guess, and that's all it is a guess, Sean's not telling us what his thoughts are on this, is that he's going to look at the overall improvement of the personnel and the competitiveness of the team and bring Gus Bradley back for another year. And but that's what we feel, not what we know.
And that's what the last we heard publicly from Shad Khan was in London, and he was asked about that. As we said last week in the post-game show, I think this is a topic every week. They'll find out at the end of the season. He'll make a decision. Are they better off than they were at the start of all this 3 years ago? And whatever that answer is for Shad Khan, then they'll move from there.
Right.
That's
so
it.
There we
That's all you know. We'll take a timeout. More of your calls coming up. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
FanDuel Scoreboard Show continues. Final score 23-17, Falcons over the Jaguars. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey.
Who let the cat in?
I don't know.
Is it an alumni weekend thing? Is that
apparently
how we got
so. And alumni weekend is now over. So
don't they lock those little kitty doors?
We're moving along. The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. A few names today. Josh Evans came out of the ballgame at one point on that double penalty play. Dan Scuda was limping with a hamstring injury, was in and out of the game. Telvin Smith, the same with a left hand injury. And Marquise Lee left the game after the circus catch with what appeared to be a hand injury, but was back on the field. So there's your Baptist Health System injury report. Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351.
Let's get out to Kevin in Savannah next up on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin, how are you?
I'm okay. Disappointed with the game.
Sure.
Looked like the typical offensive coordinator calls that we've been seeing all year. Just not good.
Let me ask you, Kevin, before you go on, what do you mean by that? When you say the typical offensive coordinator calls that we've seen all year?
Well, our first series was three and out. We didn't move the ball at all. I mean, we had how many third down conversions?
Right, but is that the play calling or is that the players? I mean, because the offense just set a record last week for the most points in the history of the franchise, so I don't know if you could say this is the typical. I mean, Blake Bortles has blown away the franchise passing touchdown mark. All right, go ahead.
Well, I think last week was an anomaly. I mean, if you look at the whole season, it's been atrocious. And, I mean, you play a team like San Diego you're supposed to beat, and you lay an egg. The Falcons were absolutely awful. They're a terrible team. And we laid an egg. That shouldn't have been a close game with, it shouldn't have been close.
I'm not saying they shouldn't have beat the Falcons. I'm just going to challenge your contention that we saw that there's been a typical lack of good play calling from the offensive coordinator when the quarterback is on pace to break every single season meaningful record in franchise history.
Well, when I tell you that they, on first down, I'll give you an example. First down, we run the ball. If it's not successful, they throw the ball. It's just so predictable. It's a predictable offense. But
I couldn't disagree with you more. You're just saying, but anyway, just to brush that point aside, I think you're absolutely incorrect on that. But go ahead and make your next point.
Well, I think you're incorrect on a lot of things I listen to all day.
That's
too,
fine.
But,
that's fine, Kevin.
Point.
That's fine. The numbers back me up, though. They don't back you up on this one.
Look at the record.
It's not the play calling. I mean, the play calling is a direct step towards offensive productivity, is it not? Is this team not offensively productive this year?
No.
No?
It's not.
Blake's got third most touchdown passes in the league, and that's not productive?
Do you think 0 for whatever on third downs is productive?
No, it wasn't, but is that the play calling? Or is that the quarterback maybe having a bad day? I'm not saying every play call was perfect.
I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about?
Hello?
We're right here.
These back show. I'm sorry.
Right. What are you? All right.
Yeah, he's done.
I guess he's. You know,
you're wrong.
Sorry. I'm not going to let it go if I think the guy's wrong and just make this statement like it's a blanket statement. They just scored. JP just scored 38 offensive points last week en route to 51, a franchise record. Blake Bortles has been on fire lately. Greg Olsen has nothing to do with that. I mean, so whenever it goes bad, Greg Olsen's a bad play caller. I mean, Blake Bortles has blown away some of the single-season marks for quarterbacks for this franchise. I find it hard to believe that Greg Olsen has been a terrible play caller this year.
Here's what he made a comment about the run on first down and then pass on second.
Well, you don't gain anything on first.
They've had some issues running the ball on first down this year and not getting to manageable situations where you think it might be a run after that. I don't know if that's play calling. That's execution. That's offensive line play and some of everything that goes into that.
I think we get a lot more.
You're forced sometimes to go to plays that you might not go to if you have a more established run game.
I think you'd get a lot more calls about play calling if you run it on first down, don't get anything, and then run it again.
That's right.
He's saying, oh, then they run it on first down, don't get anything, and then they're going to pass.
Well, what are you
going
to do?
Second and long, you're probably going to pass quite a bit when you're not running the ball. They ran the ball for a 2 yard per carry clip today with Denard Robinson. Should Greg Olsen just keep pounding the ball in that scenario? I mean, maybe it was just all the wrong play calls that stunted the run game.
You know what I'm interested in?
I'm not that smart.
I'm interested in hearing what else you're wrong about that
he
was
mentioning.
I wish
he would have stuck around. I didn't cut him off. He just gave up.
He didn't want any pushback. Apparently a laundry list of stuff
about. He just wanted to make a blanket
all the
incorrect
time
statement and let that go unchallenged, but that's not going to happen sometimes.
Nobody pushes you around.
Let's go to Michael next up here on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Oh,
Michael, what's up?
Hey, sorry about that. I'm just leaving the stadium. I just want to say one thing. I come in peace. I'm a Vikings fan. I've lived down here about 4 or 5 months, just moved down. This team is headed in the right direction, and if you can't see that, then you are just blind and negative and just a pessimistic person. Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas, Blake Bortles, the offensive line has been improving, and Linder is out for the season. And, you know, the defense needs some fixing in the secondary. It could probably stand to add a quality defensive lineman. But there's nothing wrong with the play calling today. They missed a couple plays. Maybe I have issue with the one out pattern that almost led to the pick six right before half that gave them 3 points free. I think a lot of people probably expected that coming. You know, tried to force it and just throw it away or, you know, whatnot. Just take the easy 3 points and go into the locker room. But, you know, I think the offensive coordinator, you know, Bortles is going to set the record. He's already set the record for touchdowns. Two more games left. You know, they get a chance to win 6-7 games. The Texans are garbage. And, heck, the Saints are pretty inconsistent and can lay an egg too. So, you know, this team is 100% heading in the right direction. Fowler's coming back, and that's almost like getting an extra first-round draft pick. But, you know, I can see the steps going forward kind of just being outside and not having, like, the fan – attached to me, but you know, this team's definitely starting to grow on me. And you know, if you live your life being that negatively, man, it must suck getting out of bed each day. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Michael. Look, I'm not saying Greg Olsen hits on every play call, but is it a bad play call when Blake overthrows Julius Thomas walking wide open to the end zone? Is it a bad play call when Allen Hurns is streaking down the middle of the field on what could win the game and Blake overthrows him? Is that, I'm sorry, Greg Olsen should have called, I don't know what in that scenario?
That was a nice call, but yeah, we need more calls like the call before that to get you going.
Well, no, look, I'm not looking to be confrontational, but you're just going to make a blanket throwaway statement like that. Weren't we just all – I mean, universally, seriously, anyone who's followed this team has said what a tremendous addition Greg Olsen has been for Blake Bortles in helping him come along. And the offense had been real – did the offense lose the game against Tennessee? I know they lost to Tennessee. They scored 39 points in that football game.
That's right.
The offense wasn't losing those games. Most of the time this year, it's been more of a defensive issue. Offense has had its issues as well. I'm not saying he's been a perfect play caller. Four straight runs with Toby Gerhardt against Buffalo was a bad decision. But nobody is a perfect play caller. I just don't think it's been this blanket dragging them down this year. That seemed to be the point he was trying to make.
We'll take a timeout and we'll get you a Snickers and break.
I'm fine, dude. This is me. If you don't like it, then I don't know. Look elsewhere. What can I tell you? I'm not going to change.
More of your calls coming up. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. It's the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
FanDuel Scoreboard Show continues. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey.
If nothing else, we stoked the phone lines. Phone lines are
stoked you, man. I mean, holy smokes.
You know me, Jay. You always say, what are you getting all worked up about? This is how I am.
Oh,
this
I know.
Is who
I
just, am.
It's entertaining.
Well, I don't know if it is or not. But
oh, it is.
I'm not letting it slide if I disagree with somebody.
Like
I may not be right, but that's the way
I
feel.
Yeah, I just
want
to know what else you've been wrong about, like he said.
Well,
he said you've been wrong about a lot of things.
I'm sure he's right that I'm wrong about a lot of things, but when I gave him a chance to make an example of why the play calling was bad, he says, when you run it on first down and you get no gain, then you throw it on second down. It's so predictable. Are you really saying you want to run it into the line, get stuffed, and then run it again and get stuffed on second down when you're running for 2 yards a pop? And that is the critique of the play calling? If Olsen continued to just pound the ball senselessly into the line, I would understand that. Denard had 14 carries today. You know, he didn't do much with them. They threw the ball a ton, as they typically do, because they can't open up holes in the run game. I mean, it's been an issue for them this year. Well, there you have it.
Mike Dempsey's teed up and ready. Here we go. Phone line's open.
Let's go to Mitch in Live Oak next up on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, guys, look, I'm a Jags fan. I'd like to be optimistic, but I just want to say something about why Doug Bradley needs to be canned. This was every year we go through draft picks. This is a nice year of draft picks. Great. This year the Texans had no quarterback. The Colts didn't have Andrew Luck. The Titans had Marcus Mariota. If he can't get it done against a crap division like it was this year, why should I believe he's going to get it done and turn around? The guys on defense still haven't bought into his system. He's supposed to be the defensive guru. Greg Olsen's done a great job with Bortles, but if they couldn't beat the division this year, why should I believe ever he's going to get it done? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. You don't have to. That's your prerogative. You don't have to believe in Gus if you don't want to. I mean, you don't. Right, I will say that the only thing about that, when he says the guys on defense haven't bought into his system, I don't know if it's buying into it or are they talented enough to run it effectively.
System, right? Yeah,
they don't have pass rush. They don't have pass rush.
And this
rush.
Is a system that relies on four down guys getting to the quarterback on their own.
Getting
without
pressure
blitz
without
all the
blitz.
Time.
And that, right.
They've had to turn to the blitz because they can't get to three or four guys.
JP, look. Again, I feel like I have to repeat all these things every time one of these calls comes up. We're not trying to push Gus out the door, nor do we think that Shad Khan will make that determination to fire Gus Bradley. But I do understand, from a fan's perspective, I get that call. I totally get what Mitch is saying. They won 7 games coming into the season. A lot of things fell in place for you in the division this year, and you couldn't capitalize. You lose in a lot of close games. Maybe that means you're a team on the brink. Maybe that means that you made some critical decisions the wrong way and you could have been a 9-win team right now. I don't think that's a crazy opinion to hold. I just think, you know, if that's what you're locked into, I think you're probably going to be disappointed.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This offseason. But I don't think that doesn't delegitimize his opinion. I mean, plenty of fans are on Mitch's side on that. Feel like it wasn't. It's not acceptable. They keep losing to bad teams more than they're winning against bad teams.
Yeah.
And Atlanta was another bad team. I mean, despite winning 6 games, they had won 1 of their last 8. All right, let's get to Tommy. He wants to talk. Guess what? Play calling.
Oh,
up
your favorite
on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. What's
Appreciate
up?
You taking the call.
Yep.
About the play calling, I think the offense is better than it was last year. There were 3 or 4 times today I was texting back and forth with my son during the game on change of possessions when the offense come on the field. I predicted the play call based on the personnel. They're not creative is, I think, the bigger thing. They're predictable. Also, on the interception at the end of the half, at the 1 yard line, if they throw a pass, that's the same play they run. And if you go back and watch, the Falcons left end started pointing at the tight end on the other side of the field when they lined up, and they jumped the route. That's my question about it. I think Olsen's done a good job, but I think he's predictable.
All right, you know, I'm sure there are times you can predict plays from any offensive coordinator out there. But to me, no, I don't care what's called. You're the quarterback in that situation. You know you've got points in your pocket. You can't throw that pass, okay?
Yeah.
It may be a bad play call, but it's a you compound it by once you say you get up and you say, all right, we got this play call. Then you see all these defensive players flooded in that half of the end zone.
Let me just throw it to the fourth row.
Right, throw it to the fourth row. Look to the other side. Do something. You've got to get points out of that. You're sitting at the one-yard line. So, all right, moving on. Thank you for the call, Tommy. Let's go to Scott. Another play call.
I thought
call
he had you hooked there phone for call a second.
There.
You spit the hook out.
No, look, I'm not saying Greg Olsen is a perfect play caller. I'm just, you know.
Yes.
The offense has been the bright spot for this football team.
No, and it is the bright spot for the future, too. I mean, you've got pieces on this offense that you can build around.
Absolutely. All right, let's get Scott next up here on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good. I hope y'all doing well. Dibs, I am curious about your opinion. I mean, I love the fact that you're critical, and then at the same time you're a little forgiving at the same time. But the left side of the line just seems like it's just not happening.
The offensive
between
line?
Beatles,
okay, yeah.
Between Beatles and Jokel, there just seem to be significant breakdowns, unfortunately, at critical times during the game. And if you take that on top of the fact that, no, we don't seem to be able to run the ball when we want to run the ball. And I hear you, and I listen to your show all the time, and I don't understand how how there isn't a focus that, yes, the defense needs some holes to be filled, but if Bortles is even remotely going to be able to flourish, how can he has to have a run game. I mean, A, he has to have a run game, and B, he has to be able to at least most of the time be able to drop back and not just turn to the left and not know the train is about to be just about to roll him over. And once again, I love Demps. I love his honesty. I'm just curious to hear how in this draft we have got to address the left side of the line. And if we're going to score points, and that's the way we're going to win, and that seems to be the way that the NFL is today. If you don't score points, you're not going to win. You got to have a great defense, and it's not going to matter. You got to score points. How are we going
to
do this?
All right. Thank you, Scott. Look, first of all, to your initial point about me, I think, JP, we try to be critical when it's due. And
yeah,
at the same, nothing's ever 100% bad or 100% good, right? So, you know, when you sit there and you say, well, I saw this I liked and this I didn't like, a lot of people think you're being wishy-washy because a lot of fans get their point of view and then they get so wrapped up in it they can't see – you know, the forest for the trees. And everything is bad, 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 bad. And you overlook the good things a particular player or coach or whatever does. But whatever. I trust, and I have to trust Jeff Logman and Tony Boselli, guys like that, more so on offensive line play, guys who've either played the position or break down the film.
No
I can't evaluate on their level of offensive line. But here's what I feel about the way we're looking at the offensive line going into the offseason right now. Center's a question mark because Wisniewski is
a one-year deal.
It's a one-year deal, right? So we don't know where they're going to go with that position. Brandon Linder will obviously be back. He'll likely start at right guard. He could start at left guard depending on if you like A.J. Cann on the right side.
Yeah.
At best, I think Beatles is going to be competing with A.J. Cann for a starting spot on this team. No guarantee that Zane Beatles is back on this football
team. That's correct.
They also like Tyler Shatley, from what Jeff tells me. He really thinks he's one of the made potential growth areas on the football team.
Right. Guys, you just haven't had much of a look at him in game action.
So, you know,
actually none.
Luke Jokel, again, if you listen to Jeff, and he's on with me every Tuesday, says he's playing better this year. He's still not an elite left tackle or far from it, but he's kind of getting into that middle of the pack range in his opinion. Now, certainly today had a holding penalty that hurt him. You can always, there's always going to be
there's
a few
one or two
out
yeah,
there.
Sure.
That, look, Jeff's analysis, and I ask about the O-line every week, is that Jokel's better this year. Still not great, but he's better than he's been. and he's going to get another year to prove that he can be the guy on the left side. Beatles is better this year, but it's probably still not good enough. Now, that doesn't mean he can't continue to get better. But, yeah, look, there are areas of weakness. But I think when you look at the sack total this year compared to last year, the drop is significant, right? Running, no question about it. They're struggling to open up holes in the running game. They need to be more powerful. Missing Brandon Leonard probably hurts in that capacity.
Absolutely.
But they weren't a great running team before he got hurt this year.
Right. Well, they didn't have a chance to really get the rhythm going either. I mean, once he's gone, then you have to change some things up. And this wanted to be a running offense. We're going to run the ball. And then,
it did, but I wonder if that philosophy is shifting now that they see what they've got with these skill guys. But not
like you
just
said
because,
earlier.
Right, not just because of philosophy, though, but because now we're like, wow, we didn't realize maybe how good these young skill guys are going to be so quickly. Right?
Or we just can't run the ball.
And that's part of it
time.
As well.
Yeah,
but, look, I think most people feel like the skill positions are set on offense. Ton of work to be done on defense. And, yeah, I do think if they're going to spend some either draft capital or free agency money on the offensive side, it's going to be on the line. You know, and where could that be? Well, maybe they go, if Alex Mack opts out of his deal in Cleveland, maybe they make another run at him, right? He signed the offer sheet here 2 years ago. Maybe they feel like Bolenko is ready to step up. Maybe they like Wisniewski enough to bring him back, you know? I mean, we look at things like some bad snaps, right? And then we tend to say, oh, Wisniewski, terrible game because he had some bad snaps. Well, those are terrible plays. But down in, down out, I don't feel like I'm qualified to judge Stefan Wisniewski on his performance. I trust what I'm hearing from Jeff Logman and Tony Buscelli. He's not terrible, hasn't been terrible, but definitely, yeah, they could get better on the offensive line. I mean, the run blocking hasn't been there. What can you say? You can't claim that this offensive line is the Dallas Cowboys unit.
No, not far from it, in fact. We'll come back. A couple more calls. If you don't get in, the fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up next. Jags fall in week 15, 23-17 to the Atlanta Falcons. One more segment of the FanDuel Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
Final moments of the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Well, you're eating a free sub this week. Jason Myers, a 42-yard field goal in the second quarter today to cut the lead down to 7-3, so that qualifies. By the way, Tad Dickman of Jaguars Public Relations has tweeted out, the Jags' playoff hopes remain alive. Here's what has to happen. As we've said earlier, actually, I think we've mentioned this. Jacksonville must finish 2-0. They got to beat New Orleans and Houston. Houston must finish 0-2. They've got to lose to Tennessee and to Jacksonville. And Indy must lose to Tennessee in Week 17. That is the final week of the regular season. If all that were to take place, Jacksonville would advance over Houston due to a better AFC record, and they would advance over Indy due to a better common opponent record. So, yes, there is a sliver of a chance.
And honestly, it's not that different. Had the Jags won the game today, you would have had the luxury of Indy needing to lose to either of Miami or Tennessee. Now they need to specifically lose to Tennessee. Houston still would have needed to lose to the Titans, and the Jags would need to win out regardless to get in. So, hey, they're alive, right? I guess there's that, but a lot of things still need to happen.
That means we can just talk about it all week.
Why not? Yeah. Hey, I got 5 shows this week. I don't know about you. So
it
may be mentioned.
Plenty
Tony
of content.
Smith and I may be mentioning that at some point. All right, let's get a few in before we break here or wrap it up. Jason in Julianton Creek up next. What's up, Jason? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I think we need to relax here as Jags fans. If you guys remember back in August, we said if we could just be when they show the playoff graphic in December, if the Jags are in the hunt,
yes,
and every game is close and Blake Bortles develops and every fourth quarter is exciting, then we'll be happy. And here we are. And, yeah, every game it seems you can point to a very specific play, and if that changed, maybe the outcome is different. I mean, if Bortles doesn't throw a pick on the goal line today, maybe we win. So there's very specific things you can point to that could change this record around. So, 2016 is our year. And, you know, if we're not knocking on the door next year, yeah, then – heads are rolling, people need to get fired. But I think we've, granted we want to win more games, but I'm happy with what is developed. I mean, Bortles is our franchise quarterback, right? We figure that out. So there's about 20 teams in the NFL that don't have that yet.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on that with Bortles, certainly.
Yeah, in the heat of battle, though, you go back. Boy, if you just make a field goal in Indy.
Right.
If you just do this and catch a punt in New York against the Jets. You know, just a few plays. That's what happens in the heat of the season. Now, after the season comes, oh, you look back. Okay, all that happened this year. You had your quarterback's getting better. You're on the in the hunt graphic. You're in the games in fourth quarters. You're not getting blown out. Like he said, I think that was a big part of the season. That's what a lot of people wanted to see, and that's what's happening. But just right now, oh, if you just had those two extra games.
Look, I think it's great that he has that attitude. I don't think he's the only one that has that attitude. Two mitigating factors. One, the Jags in their games played against a number of backup quarterbacks, right? They caught some breaks as far as that went. Played some teams that turned out to be a lot worse than you expect them to be and didn't fully take advantage. And when you say, will this team be relevant in December? Well, they're relevant because the division imploded upon itself,
yes.
Right? If Indy were having the typical Indy year as they had under Andrew Luck each of the prior 3 years, they'd won 11 games each of those seasons. You'd been long out of the playoff race at this point in time, so you wouldn't be relevant. Now, it turned out they were, but I think in part because a product of things, you know, they caught a break in terms of the division, the schedule, things like that, and they didn't fully take advantage of it. At least they haven't to this point. All right, let's go to Rich in Orange Park up next. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
We're good. What's up?
Hey, man, listen, I just want to talk to you guys about the Jaguars in this game that they played today. Listen, I'm the first one to, believe and understand where the Jaguars are. I completely get the entire philosophy. You know, the Jaguars' offense is a lot better. They've been making a lot more progress. You know, Bortles and Robinson and Hearns and, even Julius Thomas and everything else that's been going on. But to me, the bottom line is, not to sound negative, but the Jaguars are still not where, you know, people think that where they need to be. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, if you look at the 51 points that they put up on Indy last week, how much of that had to do with Indy's turnovers, Indy's, you know, the problems that they had. They're definitely looking better. They're definitely, you know, finally scoring points. Bortles is, you know, finally doing what we all thought that he might do. The offense is finally coming around. But at the end of the day, they came into this game knowing that basically they needed to win this game. You know, they knew that, you know, they needed to – it's a home game, final home game of the season. And how many third down conversions did Atlanta make? A lot of them.
6 of 9 in the second half.
Yeah, six of nine in the second half.
There's no question. That. Look, I'm not going to argue with you that they're where they need to be, Rich. Not at all. But, you know, the one thing I would say, you know, when you talk about, well, they did it because of Indy's turnovers. Do the Jags get some credit for creating turnovers? I mean, Andre Branch made a play. It's not like Matt Hasselbeck dropped back, laid the ball on the ground, said, go, run with it. Right? And he went back. Andre Branch beat his man. He knocked it out. He made a play. That's what, you know, so give him credit for doing that. It's not like everyone's hung, you know, Pittsburgh had blown out Indy the week before, right? And Pittsburgh's a very explosive offense. Are we going to say, well, that's just because Indy's terrible? Or do we say, hey, Pittsburgh's offense is pretty good? I think it's a little bit of perspective which way you want to look at it. Again, I'm not arguing that they met expectations or fulfilled their potential this year, because I don't think they have overall, record-wise.
But finally, they're showing some signs that they are able on offense to do some things, to score some points. It's just a matter of consistently doing it week to week. And that's the next step, right?
And when your offense has a bit of a down game, you know, A, don't hurt yourself with the critical turnover. And then B, hey, defense, pick it up. They haven't had the ability to do that too often.
Right.
Defense picked it up last week. Everything picked it up. The offense was tremendous in the second half. Special teams contributed. Defense was very good last week. More of those, please. Right? Where they
that would
all
be
three
helpful.
Phases.
Well, that'll do it for the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. If you didn't get in, the fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is next. 641-1010, the number there. Mike, we'll talk to you this week. Should
Sounds
be fun.
Good.
Yeah, for Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening to the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.